Welcome once again to Resolved. We all encounter difficult issues at times. Life can get tough, and it may seem impossible. But no matter what, and through it all, Jesus Christ is the answer. And through Him, we can rise up and be more than conquerors. Today's message is Walking in the Holy Spirit. This is the second part of a two-part series on the role that the Holy Spirit plays in our lives. Now, let's join Pastor Tom Porter.
If you would turn to your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. Galatians 5:16 says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. This is a part two of a two-part message. And last week we talked about who is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is part of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was part of creation. Let us. The Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would come and go. New Testament, the Holy Spirit now indwells within us as Christians. The Holy Spirit is a person. He's not anything else, but he's a he. He's a person. And we must remember that. And then we talked about what does the Holy Spirit do in our lives? What is it that the Holy Spirit desires to do in our lives? And we talked about it teaches us, and it convicts us of sin. He guides us. He dwells within us. He assures us of our salvation. He equips us with our spiritual gifts. He gives us power to witness, and he seals our salvation. We depend upon the Holy Spirit. The Christian life. What does it mean to walk in the Spirit? You've heard this term before. Brother, walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. We're going to look at that this morning. This phrase means, listen very carefully, to live each moment dependent on the Holy Spirit. What do you depend upon? Who do you depend upon? The Holy Spirit will never let us down. The Holy Spirit will guide us to all truth. The Holy Spirit never, never disappoints. The Holy Spirit is there. That's why Jesus said, "I leave with you the what? Comforter." Isn't that a great, that's a great word, comforter. So we're to live each moment, to depend it on Him. And then secondly, we're to be sensitive to His voice. Remember last week we talked about being sensitive, how the Holy Spirit nudges us. You know I'm talking about, believers. You know when you have that choice to make. Being sensitive to His, that still small voice. And then thirdly, we need to be obedient to Him. So be dependent on Him, be sensitive to His voice, and then thirdly, to be obedient to Him. Walking 7 days a week, moment by moment, this is living the Christian life. When the Spirit speaks to our heart, obey, obey immediately. Delayed obedience is disobedience. Delayed obedience is disobedience. Let me give you an example. You tell your child, son, take out the garbage. When I get a chance, I'll take it out. I heard one time a wife said to her husband, "Honey, will you take out the garbage?" He said, "Honey, you cooked it, you take it out." Oh. All right, just see if you're listening. All right. Delayed disobedience. There's been times in my life that I did not do that. I remember a time where I was asked to go and visit a couple by their children. "Will you go visit my mom and my dad?" I delayed. I thought, "I'll do it another time." You know, church just let out. I'm dropping the kids off in the mountains of Tennessee, and now I want to go eat me some lunch at the world-famous Mont Eagle Diner. I was more thankful of eating than I was being obedient to the Holy Spirit. Next week, I got up there, 68 miles from Chattanooga, where I lived. I drove to church, and I passed the trailer where I dropped those girls off, and the trailer was in cinders. The father was an alcoholic. The wife poured gasoline all over her husband as he was in a drunk stupor. She lit a match, and she shot herself in the head. And both of them people went out into eternity, and as far as I know, they're spending their eternity in a lake of fire called hell. I didn't listen. I was not. I disobeyed the Holy Spirit. And I'll go to my grave thinking about that. And there's been other times in my life, and there's been other times in your life. And what it's imperative here at Temple Baptist Church that our hearts, day by day, that we will be obedient to the leading of the Holy Spirit that lives within us. There are only two choices upon the shelf: to live for God or live for self. Walking in the Spirit is a life that allows the Holy Spirit to express Jesus Christ in and through us. The Holy Spirit points people to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit doesn't brag on himself. The Holy Spirit is there to edify the Lord Jesus Christ. And you may come to church. You may even take notes. You may pray. You may put money in the plate. But come Monday, you're at the office cursing, carrying on. Now, I'm not saying you're not a Christian, but what I am saying is you're not being led of the Holy Spirit to do that. There's a difference. Being filled with the Holy Spirit, if I'm going to live moment by moment by the power of the Holy Spirit, I'm going to have to yield to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, in turn, gives us wisdom, gives us courage. Boy, do you need wisdom? I do. I need wisdom. I need God's wisdom. I need courage. I need inspiration. I need motivation. I need to be have power and authority in my life. And that only comes if I yield to the Holy Spirit. Amen. If I pray and say, God, your Holy Spirit that lives within me, may I be obedient to the Holy Spirit. Too many times the reaction is no to the Holy Spirit. And yes to self. Let us be reminded, there's only two choices upon the shelf: to live for God or to live for self. And sometimes it will become clear why the Holy Spirit directs us one way and not another. But other times, we may never know why the Lord directed us that way until we get to heaven. However, the wise man or woman will obey the Spirit's voice. He knows all things, including the future, and his guidance is always, listen carefully, for our benefit. The Holy Spirit doesn't want to hurt us. The Holy Spirit doesn't want to harm us. The Holy Spirit doesn't want us to be defeated. The Holy Spirit wants to give us joy, peace. He wants nothing but the best. Just as when we were raising our children, we wanted nothing but the best for our children. And we gave them instructions. We told them what to do and what not to do and how to do it and how not to do it. Why? Because we didn't like them? No, we wanted them to do their best. We wanted to protect them. How can we win the spiritual battle? The Holy Spirit will equip us to live godly lives if we focus on him. Turn with me now to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8, how can we win the spiritual battle? It's a battlefield, boys, not a recreation room. It's a fight and not a game. So we got this battle going on. And just as God's word instructs us how we ought to give and faith giving, faith promise giving to missionaries, how we ought to grow a church, he also instructs us how we can win this spiritual battle. Look with me at chapter 8 and verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Two choices upon the shelf: to live for God or live for self. And that flesh is not talking about, you know, your skin, the largest organ in your body. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about your fleshly desires. Verse 6, For to the carnally minded is death, but to the spiritually minded is life and peace. And that death, I heard a sermon one time. It said, when we sin, something has to die. When we sin, something has to die. Now, this is not talking about we're dying and we're separated from God. But when we sin, relationships die. When we sin, positions die. When we sin, we grieve the Holy Spirit. We know we're in disobedience to God. Believers have three enemies. We have the world, we have the flesh, and we have Satan. Those are our three enemies right here. The world, the flesh, and Satan. The flesh, oftentimes, is our biggest problem. It's our flesh that we would listen to. The world tells, or the flesh says, to go for all the gusto in life. If it feels good, do it. Be your own man or woman. Man, I've said that. I told you last week. Even as a Christian, I don't care. I want to do what I want to do. Well, if you're a child of God, you shouldn't be doing what you ought to want to do. You ought to be doing what God would have you to do, being obedient to God. And He, as our Heavenly Father, wants to give us all things, and He wants to nothing but the best for us. But why do we want to do it my way? And did it my way. I hate that song. I'm sorry, but I hear that, Frank Sinatra or whoever, and did it my way. The world system. The world is against God. The world is against Christians. And you don't have to, I hope you understand that. The world hates Jesus Christ. The world does. Man wants to say, I'll get to heaven my way. That's not the way you get to heaven. It's only one way you get to heaven. Jesus said it best. Jesus Himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. No other way. That's God's way. The world hates us. The flesh. What was it? Flip Wilson used to say, the devil made me do it. No, a lot of times we just did it ourselves. We give the devil the blame when we just listened to the flesh and we just did it ourselves. The devil had no part in it. Because we have that old sin nature that still lives within us. And there's that battle that goes on constantly. And then we have the devil. But the devil can't make God's children do anything. Let me say it again. The devil can't make God's children do anything. Now that's powerful. Well, the devil just got a hold of me. Well, who let him? You did. If it wasn't for the devil, I'd be victorious in Jesus. I'm sorry. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. So let's don't kowtow to the devil. So, well, the devil made me do it. No. See, God did leave us. He didn't leave us without power. Man, we'll give you the comforter who will lead you and guide you. And then the spiritual battle takes place in two fronts. In our minds and in our behavior. It starts up here. The mind governs how we speak, how we act, how we handle different situations. If we lose the battle on one front, we will also lose it on the other front. You're still in Romans chapter 8. Look down at verse 7. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. That word means hostile. Being hostile against God Almighty. As a Christian, when we don't yield to the Holy Spirit, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. How do we please God? By faith. Being obedient to God. That's how we please the Lord. We must set our minds on obedience to God. Then we can win the battle against sin. The Spirit will speak to our hearts to warn us when we have stumbled into something wrong. And at that moment, we must choose to obey. Trust and obey. I'm singing this morning, forgive me. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to. Boy, buy a bus. We're going on tour. That sounded good. Trust and obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus. Now, you can be happy in beer. You can be happy in drugs. You can be happy in sex. But you'll be most miserable.
Amen.
You can be happy and miserable at the same time. You ever seen a drunk? I'm happy, man. You look miserable. Well, I feel miserable, too. Start your day setting your mind on the things of God. Some people wake up with a mindset of adultery. Some people wake up with a mindset of stealing, of lying, cheating, stealing from their place of employment. They just wake up with that mindset. Oh, yeah, man. And today I'm going to stick it to the boss, man. I can't wait to get to work today because I'm going to steal. Some people wake up with that mindset. Hey, Christian. Hey, preacher. We need to wake up saying, Lord, I present myself a living sacrifice. You know the problem with a living sacrifice? It tends to crawl off the altar about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. It's not until we die and get to heaven that everything will be all right. But while we're living on this sin-sick world, we're going to have problems. And we need to be yielded to the Holy Spirit immediately. And I fail at that, and you fail at that. But praise be unto God. God is a forgiving God. God is a God that He loves us with agape love. That means unconditionally. Well, you hurt my feelings, Tom. And I'm still mad at you. I'll deal with you later. But I'm going to bless your wife. Boo hoo hoo. That's not God. See, God can't even think that way, people. He can't even think that way. God is love. He wants nothing but the best for us. And apart from Him, we are inadequate to do anything of real value. With Him, we can experience spiritual victory no matter how weak or unimportant we feel. You ever feel that way? Well, I'm nothing. God never made nobody. In God, you were something. God created you. You be you. If you can't be you, who's going to be you? You! Be you. Live for the glory of God. Yield your life to the Holy Spirit. Let Him take control of our lives. Any way you cut it, walking in the flesh is rebellion towards God. Have the mindset to obey the prompting of the Holy Spirit, nudging of the Holy Spirit. You felt it. What are you going to do? God's people should not live like the ungodly. David said, I love to meditate on the Word of God. How did he learn that? How can he know that? Because when he didn't meditate on the Word of God, he sinned against his God. The apple of God's eye, he sinned. The Holy Spirit is in us to equip us, to guide us, to empower us, to correct us, to manage us, to lead us, to do His will in our lives. You dear mothers, yield to the Holy Spirit. Some of you, your biggest obstacle is your husband. That's a chore right there. Some others in this auditorium, they don't have that obstacle. Yield. You've got your children to take care of. You've got to cook the meals, to clean the house. You've got so much. Be a godly mother. Dads, you've got a wife. Wife comes first. You've got precious children. You've got bills. You've got goals for your family. Let me just throw this in. This is just a little side note. Just popped in my head. I was telling somebody the other day, and it's nothing unique with me, but I learned this. Think of your children now, if you that are raising the 5-year-olds, the 4-year-olds, 10-year-olds, 11-year-olds, think of how you would like your boy, your little girl, to be when they're 30 years old. Start thinking now how you would want them to be, how you want them to live and look and behave when they're 30. And then that will adjust your life now to get them on that path. You say, okay, what do I do, preacher? Yield. Come and say okay to God. I want to do it God's way. Take over my life, God. I want to trust in you. And that's what you want your children to do, isn't it? Isn't that what you want your children to do, to obey you because you love them? You want them to trust you. Why? Because you want the best for them. You want to give them, you would even give up your life for them. Well, guess what? Jesus has already done that. He's given up his life. He gave his life for us on Calvary's cross. For the forgiveness of our sins, the Bible says. Why did he? So that we would depend upon him totally. We would rely upon him totally. We would be sensitive to what he is saying to us as we read his word, and to obey him right away. That is life at its very, very best. That is life at its very, very best. We are depending upon God, and we're depending upon the Holy Spirit that lives within us to prompt us, to nudge us, to move us to where we need to be, to walk a spiritual life. And when we do that, we will testify of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I've come to what? Seeking to save that which is lost. But I promise you, by the authority of the Word of God, if we walk in the Spirit, you will not be disappointed. You will live a life that's got joy, not happiness, but joy in your life. And people will look at you and say, man, there's something different about you. The Bible says, my heart, my soul waiteth upon God, for my expectation is from him.
Hello, friends. This is Pastor Tom Porter of Temple Baptist Church in Titusville, Florida. I would like to thank you for joining me in this podcast and bringing the good news that Jesus Christ is the risen Savior. There is no problem too big and no blessing too small when Jesus is the Lord of our lives. I would like to ask you a question. When you die, where will you spend eternity? Will you spend it with Jesus forever or be eternally separated from him? You know, the Bible says, whosoever calleth upon the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved from their sins. You know, it's God's desire for you to have faith in his Son, Jesus Christ. Your sins have separated you from God. You must admit to God that you're a sinner and ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins. Jesus bridges that gap between you on this earth and heaven. Will you accept Jesus as your personal Savior today? It's easier than you think. You can pray this prayer with me. Dear Jesus, I admit to you that I'm a sinner. I realize that you paid the penalty for my sins on the cross, and I want to receive you into my life right now. Save me from my sins. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed that prayer with me, then you've been born into the family of God.
Thanks for listening. Resolved is a production of Temple Baptist Church, Titusville, Florida, USA. For notes on this message and others, you can find them at resolved.podbean.com. Make sure you visit our main website at templebc.net. And if you're ever in our area, we hope that you'll come by and see us. Remember, Jesus is Lord. So take care, and God bless you.